mind, actually, my wife mentioned it the other day, was a statement that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt. That is so far from the truth. And then another statement that I've heard before is forgive and forget. So far from the truth. Is there any other statements that you could think of in regards to forgiveness that you could think of that I haven't said here? I know those two are like the big ones I remember, but is there any other ones that stick out in your mind? Let it go. Just let it go. Why worry about it? Sing the song, let it go. Yeah, I love that show, so we'll go with that. Anything else? Sorry? Leave it to heaven. Yeah. I haven't heard that before, but yeah, I can see that being something that... 1950-ish? Just trying to find a date for that movie so I can look that up later. Any other statements that maybe come to your mind? Yeah, Ron? Smile, put on a happy face. So in a way, ignore it or don't worry about it anymore. Yeah, those are all good. And the thing is that we place a lot of that stuff in our mind to try, and it's like a deflector or a mechanism to make sure no one can hurt us. It's so far from the truth. Don? What doesn't break you makes you strong? Yeah. But those are deflections. Those are statements that we use to try to deflect things. And as I was preparing for our sermon this morning, and as I was saying to the Lord, what is something different that maybe would stir in the hearts of those and around? Because, you know, for me, and I'm sure for you, you want wholeness. You want to know why you respond sometimes when you hear certain things. And so as I was going through this, it's like, ah, these are just mechanisms to stop the hurt. But if we have true forgiveness, those mechanisms don't even need to be in place because you've forgiven and you've let things go. So as we go through some scripture today and as we go through some things, I'm praying that the Lord will really just speak to your heart, maybe bring to mind maybe someone that you could just say out loud, like I had to do this week. Man, it was like, really? I thought I did forgive those people, but then I realized, wait a second, maybe I haven't. Maybe I haven't done what I needed to do. Matthew 6 through 14 and number 15, it does say, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And as Christians, we strongly believe in that because we want to be forgiven. That is, we go to God with our sins and ask for forgiveness, but we also need to forgive. What happens when we don't forgive? We're going to talk a little bit about forgiveness and what the benefits are, but I want to dive into something that's a little bit sensitive, the unforgiveness spot, because I think it's important that we understand both sides. So one of the things we're going to jump, sorry, I'm not doing the PowerPoint thing very well, so maybe Jonathan, you can do that. But if you can jump to the my PowerPoint where I have my points about unforgiveness creates in one's life, just my bullet points there. So one of the things that I really just, as I was praying about going through, Lord, what are some things that can be created from unforgiveness? Because I want to know why I respond the way I do. And so I've got some points here, but a short story I want to share with you. And this is what's really funny for my life, just before you read those, what's really funny for my life is that I have a lot of teachers that are friends of mine. Young people have become teachers and stuff. And through school, through the 70s, specifically when I was younger, they didn't really know how to deal with hyperactivity children. I don't know if you were there. I was a pretty hyper kid. And so I still remember my grade 6. And see, this is something I totally thought was out of my mind, okay? So this just blows my mind that, Lord, why? Why are you bringing this up now? But it's because I didn't forgive this teacher. So when I hear about people being a teacher, sometimes I get my guard up, okay? Just no offense, teachers that are in the room. That makes sense. So if you're a teacher and you notice that I defend myself against you, this is the reason why. This is one reason why. Many reasons, but this one I'll share with you. In grade 6, Grade five was a troublesome year for me, as every year was troublesome. But grade six, the principal of the school decided to split us three guys up because we were like buddies, and I think we drove the teacher to probably crying. I mean, every day for the whole school year. So they decided in grade six, we're going to separate the three boys, and they put me in a class 6-7 split, which is bad in itself. But it was all the kids that were like the A students. So do you know, like, people probably like, were you an A student, Carolyn? Yes. So people like my wife, they put me in a class and because they thought out of the three that I should be an A student type of kid, right? Maybe, maybe not. But what ended up happening is that whole school year, I'll never forget it, I got lines every day. The teacher who gave lines did paragraphs. It wasn't lines, it was a paragraph. So three-sentence paragraph, I will not, blah, 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 period, blah, blah, blah. And I would get 100 at a time. I was up to over 3,000 lines that I had to do because I wouldn't do them. And I remember actually spending the night with the principal till 9 at night. After school, from 3, they got permission from my parents because my parents are all about it. And I even had to walk home, have dinner, walk back, okay, to school. And I had to write out as many lines as I could to have some grace to be. So this teacher gave me lines, put me in the hallway. I was never in the class, so I had a desk in the hallway. So how am I supposed to learn? Who knows? And then the other thing is the one thing that I'll never forget is in the cloakroom when he picked me up by my neck and said, can you not learn? Like, can you not smarten up? And I know in those days, it was probably I frustrated the out of them. And so, not that it was right, but it created a lot of unforgiveness in my heart. So teachers, please don't be offended. But this week I've learned, I don't need to go to him. I don't need to go up and say, hey, can you forgive me? I don't need to do that. What I need to do is, Lord, I forgive him. I read through an article and it stuck out to me. I shared it with the guys yesterday, but when Jesus was on the cross and he didn't look at the individuals and said, I forgive you and I forgive you. And he said, forgive them of their sins. And to me, that was meaning that we need to do. We just need to forgive. Hopefully I'm not upsetting too many people this morning, but here's the thing is this is what unforgiveness, I believe, can create. One who pretends that everything's okay. How many times have you, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Unbelievable or not, unforgiveness will create a deflect or a defense mechanism that everything will be okay even if it's not, because I really don't want to share with you because I've been hurt too many times. Isn't that weird? How one little word or one thing in our life that we don't do can create some serious repercussions. One is you think to yourself, and you can't stop thinking, but you start thinking, what is wrong with me? Something's not quite right here. One can't figure it out, trying to figure it out. I don't know how many of you have done that, where you've sat back, why do I respond that way? Well, teachers, now I know why. Sometimes it could even create having trouble sleeping. I can't stop thinking about that situation. It goes over and over and over in your mind. Outburst of anger. I'm sure nobody here has ever got mad before. You get mad. But that's a defense mechanism, right? If you actually lash out to somebody, what is generally, not all the time, but generally if you lash out to somebody, what do? They usually walk away, or they'll go away angry from you. They won't really want to engage with you anymore. It's actually a perfect defense mechanism, but it's not right. But you can push people away. If you push people away, then you're safe, right? Again, aggression, behavior towards the persons or that particular person if they're amongst you. One might feel that they have trouble being accepted in groups. Huge, huge. Someone says something and triggers a reaction. How many people, you know, you hear something on TV or you talk to somebody and all of a sudden something triggers in you. For me, I want to defend all those young people who the teachers, you know, if a teacher, I don't understand why they can't just pay attention. You know, my reaction is I want to protect that young person. I don't care about the teacher at that point. Why? Because of that in my life. It's really easy also to become a blamer. It's everybody else's fault. And you might not agree with all of these, but I really do think that these are all statements that can be part of unforgiveness. It can even bring physical sickness. I never thought of that before, but it could bring on physical. Well, if you're not sleeping right and you're always thinking about it, it could bring on things that physically sickness. I've heard of people like this. Not myself, but I've heard of this. You keep a list of wrongs. So what we're not taught as Christians, right? But we keep a list of wrongs. You know, there's another one. And we just chalk it up. Defense mechanism kicks in. We want to deflect. Proverbs 8:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And so I think about what that teacher said, or teachers, that wasn't the only teacher, there was many, that have really said, like, even words like, you're just stupid, why are you here? And then there's teachers that said, you've done well, but you know what? The teachers that said you're stupid overpower the ones that say you've done well. So the words are so important. And I know for myself, that's one thing I always want to, even as I get older, I'm trying to not say stuff. I'm trying to be more patient and more kind, you know, not be attacking, not to be so, because scripturally, we need not to be that way. And what I love about the scripture says, those who love it will eat its fruit. So if we're actually doing the opposite of all these things, we're loving on people, we're caring for people, we share good things, we share positive things, we share things that are uplifting. It says right here in scripture, Solomon put it in here, Proverbs 18:21, and it says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's so much to that. I want to be someone who eats of the good fruit. One can fall back into old habits or attract the same type of person. For years as a youth leader, I just got so mad at the girls mainly. Sorry, girls. But for some reason, they would always attract the same type of jerky guy. I just got to say that. You know, like, if they needed love, so they would attract a guy who would love to be loving. But it wasn't a good love. It wasn't a love that was one that was healthy. It was a negative love. And so a lot of times, is I think in unforgiveness, you kind of get drawn, even though you're trying to fight not that, like to live that way, it's easier to fall into that because you have all these mechanisms set up in your life that no one can hurt you. But for some reason, and so I would always get kind of mad at the youth when I was a youth leader, as well as, you know, probably when I was younger too. So, and then the last one, and it's important, this is a really important one, what I struggle with a lot with is an unwillingness to confide in others. How many of us struggle with sharing? You know, there's just something, it's hard sometimes. And so I believe in all my heart that unforgiveness can and will destroy one's life. If you live in a world of unforgiveness, not forgiving, it just, I think it's bitterness. There's so many words that I can bring up, and I'm sure that you could bring up in your mind right now, that can take you down to a place where, how do you serve the Lord? Well, God can work through all of that, trust me, because he works through me, and he uses me. And I am so not perfect, it's unbelievable. But I know God loves each and every one of you and only wants and desires for your lives to be free from all those struggles, from all those hurts, from desperation, and the word just came to loneliness we talked about the other week. God does not desire that for us. But we, as humans, as sinful humans, unfortunately, we have to make a choice. Our relationship with God is a choice. You choose where you live with him. Myself, I've said this before and I'll say it again. This year is my challenge was read through the Bible in a year because I just want more of God in my life. That was a way I just knew if I read his word. And it really has impacted how I look at my day. Instead of being tired because I didn't have enough coffee, because coffee is important. I can go without coffee because and not be a spaz. That's the only word I can use, because if I don't have my coffee, sometimes I'm a little spazzy because it's my equilibrium or whatever is not put in place. I need that caffeine. But the Lord really can work through that. And I've been just filling my life with his word and eating of that. And so when it comes to preparing for sermons, what's really been helpful or not is that the Lord's really been bringing things to my mind on what are things I need to release and let go. And then what do I do? And you may be the same way, but of course it takes us 3, 4, or 5 days to kind of say, okay, I'll release it. Because the Lord just keeps bringing it back to your mind. I don't need to do that. I don't need to say this. I don't need to be a part of it. But realizing that in unforgiveness is so important. It's like priority one. And all the things we do, there's lots of priority ones, but this is a priority one for all of us today in this congregation, is to forgive. And here's the reason why. Also, I wanted just to say 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, way at the bottom, it was he was talking to the church of Corinth, but this verse 11 really stuck out to me, and it said this. He's forgiving and saying, I forgive those in sight for Christ's sake, all these different things. But it said, in order that Satan might not outwit us. Recognizing that we are in a battle against the principle of darkness. He can and will destroy everything he possibly can and as quick as he can, because he doesn't like that fact that you serve the Lord. Remember that. And then it said, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We have the Bible that tells us what the devil's schemes are and what are some key things to destroy you, to destroy what God wants to do, which is good and healthy and whole. So when we get into an unforgiveness part of our life or unforgiveness in our life and we don't deal with that in our life, what ends up happening? All those things that I shared, I think, start to develop, and it just will hinder you for being someone who God can use fully. He can still use you, trust me, but fully. I want to move in the power of the Spirit. How many here this morning wants to move in the power of the Spirit? I want to be able to say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed, God, and the power of God come on, that person's healed. I want healing, not just physical, but emotional. First John 1, 4 through 6, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. I want to encourage you this morning to walk in the light. Walk in the forgiveness of our sins. Walk in the forgiveness for other people. I'm not saying this morning you need to run out to your neighbor if they've upset you because they've mowed the lawn too far on your side or built the fence an inch over. I think it's important that we say, I forgive. I forgive the wrongs done to me. One thing I will say is, with the forgiveness, I believe that we're not saying you're going to forget about the situation. I have heard God literally take that file and throw it out and you don't remember it anymore. But the important part is not to put yourself back in that situation. So we forgive the wrongs, but not to put yourself back in that situation. And obviously I'm not going to go back to grade 6, right? But there's other things in our life that can happen. And you know in your heart, if the Lord's speaking to you, what that thing is. But it's not to put yourself back in that situation, but it is so that you can be healthy, that you can be healed, they can be, I want to use regenerated. So, now the exciting part. What does forgiveness bring? Healing? Healthier relationships? Improved mental health? Peace of mind? I love this third bullet. It says less anxiety, stress, or hostility. Look at the stuff it's releasing. I was reading through this, low blood pressure. And I definitely know when you get mad, your blood pressure gets up there. So you know, fewer symptoms of depression. How many of us can struggle with depression and not realize it's unforgiveness in our life? Oh, Lord, why did you share that? Now I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to be forgiving, not holding grudges. What? Yeah, I said it. A stronger immune system. So that it improves your physical health as well. Improve heart health, improve self-esteem. Not that you become this, you know, person that's, you know, overwhelming, but you become someone who's able to say, I am who I am, because that's how God created me, and be okay with it. I know for years I've struggled with who I am, and God, why did you create me the way you did? And it's just over this last, well, few years now, but is understanding that God loves me for who I am. Not always, I don't always have to be the forefront person. I don't always have, God loves me for who I am. So if you're an introvert and you like to be in your room and read a book, that's okay. I personally thought that was a bad thing for people to always be in the room, because how do they get out to share the gospel? But at the same time, it's like, that's okay, because that's who you are. God will bring people on your way, in your pathway, where you work, where you walk. How many times through Rooted, I mean, we've been learning different things, just simple, basic things, but getting back to sharing your testimony with your friends, your peers, your neighbors, just going out and talking with them. What better way just to go out and just talk with your neighbor and just share? In Luke 1, 76 through 78, it says this, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven." This morning was not to be a morning of bringing people down. This morning was a morning of rejoicing. This morning is a morning of releasing. This morning is to be, we had fun as a family at the beginning part. We're going to take communion together as a family. But this morning, if there's someone or something that has been hindering you from moving forward in your relationship with God, with some unforgiveness in your life, this morning, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for releasing of whatever that situation was. I want to pray for a healthier life for you. I want to pray that God, when you walk out of this room, that it is, not that you forget it, because you have to learn from past. That I believe. But it could be left here and it's no more a driving force for how you respond to things. Will you be willing to take the challenge this morning? I know God wanted you to hear this morning. He put it on my heart for the people of New Life Foursquare. You know why? Because we're moving forward as a church. We're stepping out and we're saying through our Rooted course, giving the opportunity for those who took Rooted to spend time with pre-Christians, to maybe open up their doors in our upcoming home groups or life groups that we want to launch in the fall. Because we believe New Life is now moving forward in a way that's going to impact the city in a major way. Are you ready for this? But I also think that we need to be ready spiritually. So we need to be healthy. We need to make sure that there's nothing holding us back. God, I don't want to hold anything back. I want to give everything to you. Matthew 7, it says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Verse 9. "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" God will not give a stone this morning, people. He will love and he will care. It says, ask and he will give. Seek after him. Seek after forgiveness for those who have wronged you. Allow the other stuff to go on. So with every eye closed, because I do want to make this a personal thing this morning, head bowed, I want to pray with you. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand, and then we're going to pray for you. So if you just felt, yes, Ed, this was for me. There's some unforgiveness I want to release. Go ahead and raise your hand up, and I'm going to pray with you. So if that's you, I see your hand. I see your hand. Go ahead and put them down. Anybody else? I see your hand. Yeah. Anybody else? Let's release any of this morning. So, yeah, I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. So, Father, you've seen the hearts of those here this morning who have raised their hand. God, I pray that you would give them the strength, as you've given me the strength this week, to speak out the name of the person or persons that I have not forgiven, that is holding me back from becoming closer to you, Lord God. And in the name of Jesus, I break that. In the name of our Heavenly Father, I break that. Satan, you have no power or authority anymore within these lives. I pray, Lord God, you would uproot them and throw them out. And I pray, Lord God, that as they leave this morning, they would be renewed, refreshed, restored. In Jesus' name, I proclaim victory. And would you just shout out to the Lord? Would you pray to the Lord right now? Just give him glory. All of everyone here this morning. If you have a spiritual language, go ahead and let's just give God glory right now.